Well, here we are on Sunday, the last day of the new year or the old year and the last Sunday, and we're excited about what God is going to do if He leaves us here for another day and we enter into this next year. Then we want to certainly follow Him and serve Him and do His will. I want to preach for a little while, and you say, well, it might not be good to have a negative title, but I'm going to preach about wrong battle plans for the new year. You know, there's lessons in the scriptures even about what people did that was wrong that we can say, okay, well, don't do that, do the other, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter number 4 in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, not too many books in. So as you find your place there in 1 Samuel chapter 4, I did hear this story about this fellow was hiking through some of the mountains. He was up by himself and shouldn't have been probably, but he's up by himself, got a little too close to the edge and fell. Didn't fall about 5 or 10 feet, and he grabbed onto a little tree that was out there on the side of that mountain. He was just hanging there. He didn't have anything else to grab onto. He was just hanging there, and he was a long, long way down, about 200 feet or so, I would imagine. And he wasn't necessarily that much of a religious guy, but he was between a rock and a hard place, so to speak. And so he looked up and said, God, if you're up there, help me out. Didn't hear anything. He said, God, if you're up there, help me out. And so he heard this voice come down. He says, have faith. Let go. And guy looked down about 200 feet. There's just some rocks and certain death down there. And he looked back up. He says, anybody else up there? So you don't always like to hear what he has to say, I guess. So we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter number 4. And we're going to look at verse number 3 where in the section, we find Israel in a bind here. They were just smitten by the Philistines. They had already won about some battles there. You'd find that in verse number 2. But in verse number 3, now they want to do something about it. The elders try to figure out what they lost or why they lost and what they can do. They're scratching their heads and saying, we got to do better this next time. And then we find them in verse number 3. And when the people were come down to the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh, and that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, where they were with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is coming to the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men, and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. So they decided, as it were, to go get their good luck charm. As I said, the Philistines had already whooped up on them one time. And then the elders in verse 3 said, we got to do something. We're going to go down and get the Ark of the Covenant of God. We're going to go down and get it. When we have it in our ranks, there's no way we can lose. When we have it here as our good luck charm, when we have it here as our beacon, then there's no way that we can lose. We're going to make it through. You saw in verse number 3, the Israelites even said that it may save us, it being the ark. I want to put a big time out or stay stop. Whoa, hold up here. I can tell you that any time an object or an action or an activity or status is used as a get-out-of-jail-free card, you're in deep trouble. Any time that you say, well, there's no way that anything bad can happen to me because I did this, we don't twist God's arm and hide it or put it behind his back as you might manipulate somebody smaller than you because of the God Almighty doesn't get that way. We understand that these Israelites here, weren't in a position to back God in a corner and say, you got to fight for us. There's something wrong when we put something of ourselves out to people to say, because I do this, I can't lose. We're in a heap of trouble. Because the Bible says in another passage that God looketh, or man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. That means that if you get everything cleaned up, you did everything that you were supposed to do. You got spiffied up. You put on your best pair of blue jeans and put on a shirt that was nice and clean. Said, I'm going to go to church. And we get all cleaned up on the outside, but we don't get cleaned up on the inside. Then what the outside is what we see as people, but the inside is what God sees. And it doesn't cut any ice with Him. We see that that would mean that for some religious friends that we might have, the rituals that they get involved with aren't enough. That would mean that an ungodly, immoral athlete that does well on the field but lives an ungodly, wicked life and goes to the end zone and kneels, that doesn't overtake or doesn't do away with all the wicked ways they live. That means somebody, if they're in a cult that doesn't teach the right things about Christ and doesn't teach He's God, even because they're fervent, doesn't mean that their fervency covers over their doctrinal error. But can I have you hold on to your pews or your seats there? The same is true also if you sit in a Bible-believing church. And it, as much as we can, we try to do things right and keep it right and all that. But you don't sit in a Bible-believing church and then have God overlook your sin just because you parked yourself in a place that holds up the Bible. I'm saying this morning that any time that we use an item or an activity or any other issue to gain favor with the Lord, we are on the wrong track or on the wrong trail, because God can't be bought. We don't have enough to bribe Him, and He wouldn't be even if we did have enough. And we can't, as Pharisees, bind Him into doing something for us. The only way that God gets bound into doing something is a promise He already made, and that He binds Himself by His own word that He already had spoken. And so I want to look in this passage, though, for some wrong battle plans for the new year. And maybe God would use this in our lives as we look into what we ought not do, and then we'll give what we should. Father, bless us as our prayer, and we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 3 and 4 says this, let us fetch the ark, that it may save us, as I mentioned already. The first wrong battle plan that I see that the Israelites have here is they want a good luck charm. I read again, as I was preparing for this message, about a festival in Sri Lanka, about the festival of Buddha's tooth. And it's, as you would imagine, after his cremation, there was supposed to be a certain part of Buddha that was left even after his body was destroyed. And they would have festivals, or they do have festivals, to that relic, to that remnant. And you say, Pastor, how silly that would be. Well, and it would be, but there are many times that we often try to twist or bring something to an elevated level to say, because I have this, I'm going to be blessed of the Lord. Well, as one televangelist put, you can't lose with the tools I use. Anytime we get into that mindset, we are forgetting what we positioned ourselves in a church service, in a religious service, in a Bible study for. We didn't position ourselves in there to be seen of men, or we shouldn't have anyways. We positioned ourselves in there to learn from God. And so what the Israelites did here, they had this good luck charm. So they thought, the boys, let's go get the ark. We can't lose if it's up here. If we get it up in here, then we'll know that we're going to win the battle. And of course, we see that it didn't work that way. I read of a man that he loved the Lord. And he had his devotions, but he also loved his cat. But his cat would always crawl up on him when he was trying to read the Bible. And he got a little collar and tied up a cat. I didn't even know you tied cats up, but he did. And he tied it up so it wouldn't bother him while he was reading his Bible and studying and praying. Well, his daughter was certainly admired her dad and the Lord as well, but she wasn't as fervent. But when she would come there, she'd do the same thing. Well, I'll tie the cat up and I'll read, because she thought that was a good ritual that my dad has been involved in. But her son, the grandson of the first man I mentioned, wasn't interested in seeking the Lord, but did love traditions and did value that. And so instead of tying the cat up while he got his Bible out and sat in the chair, he tied the cat up while he just got ready for the day, thinking that somehow that ritual would help him be a better person. And you understand that whatever we do for the Lord, if we're not careful and we start putting the emphasis on the wrong thing, that we can start valuing things that have no value. You can say, oh, I go to church, I don't have to do anything else. Oh, I carry my Bible, I don't have to do anything else. We can treat almost anything like a good luck charm, so to speak, as these Israelites did. But I want you to look further in verse number 5. Not only was the wrong battle plan include a good luck charm, the Ark of the Covenant of God, but in verse number 5 we see self-confidence was also something that was on their side. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, the Bible says, verse 5, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. All Israel, confidence was shouting. Confidence was an important part, yes, but their confidence shouldn't have been in the fact that they went and got the Ark of the Covenant. The confidence should have been placed in God Himself. And what they did was they had a positive attitude that we can make it. I used to pray for our kids to have self-confidence, but I stopped praying that, and now I pray they would have God confidence. Because God can do whatever God wants to do through the life of those that follow Him. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13, I can do all things, but it doesn't end there. A pastor friend of mine says, if you end the verse there, that's a humanistic statement. I can do all things. I can will it to be true. Humanism. But the rest of the verse has to be included. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so I understand that the Israelites, they had this good luck charm. They also had the wrong battle plan of self-confidence. But let's further go through the passage here, verse number 7 and 8. They also had a powerful reputation. The Philistines were afraid. They were shaking in their boots, or their sandals, as it were. They were expecting to be beaten, the Bible says. They said, God's come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us. Who shall deliver us out of the hands of these mighty gods? Verse number 8. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. The Philistines thought more of the Israelites' ability than the Israelites thought of their ability. I've heard it said that you should under-promise and over-deliver. Well, they were over-promising what they were going to under-deliver on. It's the same in homes, the same in churches. My pastor went to a church one time of a great speaker. He actually spoke here different times. And he said, I was expecting certain things when I went to the church. And he said those expectations weren't met. The crowd was smaller. The excitement was not there. There weren't as many moving parts. It was a little bit lackluster. Not that that matters. But you can understand with me how reputations don't do anything for the substance. Pastor Brown, who I work for, he said, he has an honorary doctorate from somewhere. And he said, John, it's like the pig on a, or it's like a tail on a pig. Doesn't put any more ham on the hog. And so your reputation, my reputation, doesn't do much to get us a victory in the battle. And so I want us not only to be people who are known as church-going, God-fearing, Christ-loving Christians. I want us not only to be known as that, but I actually want to be that. See the difference? I want us not to have a great reputation in your family or in your workplace or wherever that, wow, yeah, he's one of those religious people. I really want to be one of those religious people. Don't let them scare you. Oh, I'm not religious. I religiously do a lot of things, but I want to religiously get close to the Lord. I want to walk with Him. And so I want more than just a reputation. Instead, I want that substance with the Lord. So the good luck charms. The self-confidence and the powerful reputation didn't do much. You say, Pastor, says you're not doing much to encourage us. You're depressing us. But I wanted to look at what we shouldn't do before we look at what we should do. If you're in 1 Samuel 4, look in 1 Samuel chapter 7. Just go a few chapters over. And as you turn there, I'm going to catch you up on the story. So we know that in that time when they went to get the ark from Shiloh and they brought it back, they said, surely this will give us the victory. It did not. And when the Philistines whooped up on them this time, they took their good luck charm. They took the Ark of the Covenant. They took it back home with them. Well, it was too hot for them to handle, so they said, we can't handle this. We're going to send it back. And they surmised a way to do that, and so Israel lost it. Philistines had it. Philistines said, we don't want it. So now it's back in the possession of the Israelites. So now we see another showdown here in this chapter. The Philistines are going to come up again against the Israelites and vice versa. But look in chapter 7, verse number 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. You better believe they were afraid. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb, offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Can I give you this next game plan, this next battle plan? The first one was a big mistake. But here's what they do this time. Number one, we see in verse number 8 that they pray to God. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord. Said, boys, we're going to go to battle. We're going to have the preacher man. We're going to have Samuel cry to God, pray for us. And in our day and age, we can say, listen, we ought to, before we ever go into a battle. And you say, Pastor, I'm not battling anybody. We're not out on the battlefield. But my friend, we are on the battlefield. We're on the battlefield of life. There's things coming this year that we don't even know what they are yet, but they're not going to be pleasant. And we're going to be on the battlefield. You and I need to be fighting these battles on our knees. As the Israelites learned on this one, we need to pray to God. Not only that, but look in verse number 9. They not only prayed, but they also offered sacrifice to God. Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. First they prayed, but then they also offered sacrifice. Lord, what would you want from me? And I say that we ought to all go into this year. Lord, what would you want from me? You want me to be a better husband? You want me to be a better father? You want me to be a better worker? You want me to be a better this? You want me to be a better church member? Lord, I want to sacrifice to you what you want. And as Romans chapter 12 says that we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice. You, my friend, if you're married to that spouse of yours, you ought to present yourself to God and say, I want to be the spouse that you want me to be. And so what Israel does in this instance is they say, Lord, we're going to need your help. And then they offered sacrifices to the Lord. And then look down one more verse, verse number 10. And they went to battle by faith. Not only did they pray and sacrifice, but they went to battle by faith. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomforted them. And they were smitten before the Lord. They went to battle this time by faith. Now, step back with me for a moment, because in chapter 4, verse number 2, the Israelites were smitten by the Philistines. Now, a few chapters later, same Israelites, minus the ones that were killed in the battle, same Israelites battling the same Philistines, totally different outcome. The secret, if you will, it's no secret, but the secret, if you want to say it that way, is found there in verse 10 when it says, but the Lord. Amen. Thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines. Now, none of us are going to be, hopefully, fighting physical battles. We certainly won't be fighting the Philistines in a war battle. But there'll be things in your life, young and old alike, this year, if God lets us live, that's going to be a great battle. And we will have to roll up sleeves and get with it, get in the work. But before you roll up sleeves and get to the work, I'm begging you, my friend, start the battle off on your knees, praying and asking God to give you strength for what you're ready to encounter. And then if we follow the example of the Israelites, also, whatever the Lord wants, in this case, he wanted a sacrifice, whatever the Lord wants, yield to him. And then go on by faith and say, Lord, the battle is yours. Same Israelites, but this time they weren't counting on their good luck charm, their positive attitudes, or their wonderful reputation, because this time they didn't have the reputation. This time they were the underdogs. Last time the Philistines were saying, "Whoo, these boys are going to take us." They had more confidence in the Israelites than the Israelites had in the Israelites because of what God had already done. But that's not the case the second battle. The Philistines were convinced they would win, and the Israelites were afraid. They're right. We're afraid. But because of that humility, it brought them to their knees, caused them to look up, didn't cause them to look over at the ark this time and say, "We've got it, so there's no way we can lose." Lord, we've got you. And can I add, this is not in this passage, but can I add, Lord, we've got you. Even if we lose this battle, we're still winners. And you know as well as I do, there are people in our church that unless something drastic happens in their life, they won't win certain battles with health issues that are going on right now. But many of them have told me, "Pastor, I win either way. If God heals me, I go on and serve Him. If God brings me, takes me on to heaven, I see Him. I'm a winner either way." You've got to trust God for the victory. That's the battle plan for this new year. Not that I'm a good church member. Not that I'm a stellar family man. Not that I've got all my ducks in a proverbial row. Not that I sit on the same pew every time the doors are open. Not that I do this. Again, let me remind you, you can't buy God, bribe God, and He won't be beholding to you because you did something that's, wow, He's got to act because of this. God is God. But where we humbly come to is where the Israelites were here. Samuel, if you don't mind, don't come out of that prayer closet until this battle's done. Because we ain't sure what's going to happen. But we know one thing for sure. We need you talking to God for us out there. And this year, we need to be talking to God for what's going on out in our lives. Maybe we all have been guilty of sometimes thinking we held some religious relic, either literally or figuratively, and thinking that it has to go good for me. I've got my lucky rabbit's foot. I always wondered about that because it wasn't so lucky for the rabbit. I've got my lucky rabbit's foot. I've got to go. I've got to win. God doesn't say without a good luck charm, it's impossible to please Him. But He does say in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Amen. So as we go through this year, let's ditch the wrong battle plans and let's sign up for the right ones. And that is crying out to God, giving Him what He's lead you in your life to give, and then go to battle in faith. And if you're here this morning, you're a Christian, you know the Lord is your Savior, my friend, would you stand firm this year as we enter into it and say, "Lord, I want to trust you through this battle." You say, "What battle?" I don't know. Probably battles. But I'm going to trust you through this year. And if you're here, you're not sure that you're saved. You're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Perhaps you've been counting on the fact that you're faithful to church. You're a good person. You try to be a good family member. Surely all those things combined will make me a candidate for heaven. My friend, those are shaky foundations that will not stand. Because you don't get to heaven by being a better person than the person who lives down the street from you. We go to heaven because of our sins being completely taken care of through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so maybe you've been on the wrong battle plans as well. You've been trying to do good, and that's a good thing. You've been trying to be a good neighbor, and that's commendable. You've been trying to be at the right place, right time, doing all these things. Wonderful. But you've been doing that as a sort of like having a good luck charm. God, you've got to let me in because I've done all these things. My friend, it doesn't work that way. The Bible says the only way we enter into heaven is, again, by having Christ as our Savior and having our sins forgiven. The quite literal truth is there'll be many, many church members, when their time comes, they won't make it to heaven. Maybe because they were counting on the rituals, counting on their routines, counting on their social or religious standing, but not depending on Christ. My friend, let's not be one of those. Make sure your faith is firmly planted in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. So if you're saved in this room today, I challenge you to go through this new year with faith in the Lord that He will take care of the things that are coming your way. And if you're not saved today, plant your feet on the solid rock of Christ. Invite Him into your life as your one and only Savior. And those are the good battle plans for this year. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, as we're entering into a new year, it's exciting, it's intimidating, it's thought-provoking, and a lot more descriptions. But Lord, one thing for sure, in this new year that we're getting ready to enter into, we need Your help. And I pray, dear Lord, that each and every person in this room and listening, everyone would make a decision. Everyone would make the decision that I'm going to trust You, God, in this new year. I'm not going to trust my ability. I'm not going to trust my position. I'm not going to trust some relic of a religious experience somewhere. I'm going to trust You. And if there's one or several that are unsaved, I pray that today they would trust Christ as their Savior. As the ladies begin to play, when you hear them, if you're able to, would you stand together with us? The truth is, my friend, all of us, including the person just preached to you, all of us start thinking that because we do a certain religious activity, there's no way we can't succeed. My friend, my eyes get on the wrong thing sometimes. It's not my religious actions. It's the one that I'm supposed to be doing those for. God Almighty. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart, just moved upon you, feel like you've got a knock at your heart's door, and you'd like to come and pray, the altar is open for you. If you need somebody to pray with you, we would. If you just want to come pray for yourself, the altar is open for you. But let's not let this moment pass, but what we don't do business with the Lord is He moving on your heart? Did you already have a little conversation with Him there? Lord, I will trust You this year. My faith will be in You, not in me. My confidence will be in You, not my ability. My friend, please don't leave, but what you make some holy vows to the Lord, what He wants you to do. As they play one more verse, this one's for you. If you want to come, maybe you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, but you'd like somebody to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure, would you step out and come? Thank You so much. You may look this way. Well, it's been a thorough joy to be in church this morning. I was sitting back there on the back wall, actually the chair in front of the back wall, but I was sitting back there, and the sun was coming through that stained glass window, and the choir was singing that first song about what a lovely name, cherish that name, that beautiful name, and almost just got carried away just thinking about how good the Lord is. That sun was shining through, showing His goodness, and then that sound was coming, that the choir, you did a phenomenal job just singing about that. Just a wonderful place to be. And God has been so very, very good, not only to this church, but to each and every one of us. I'm just so blessed. And we want to go out with a prayer, asking the Lord to bless. I know schedule-wise, some will not be able to make it back tonight. I invite you back at 6:30. We'll look forward to a good time in God's house. Invite you always. But I know some won't be able to. And so I realize that this will be the last time we get to meet before the new year is here. And we'll be back on this Wednesday, Lord willing, in Colossians, looking through the continue the Bible study. But this will be the last service we meet for some. If you have to go somewhere tonight, then I want us to just, as we leave, praise the Lord for what He's given us and what He's done for us this year. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, and thank God for it. I'll ask Brother Scotty, if you don't mind, to come up and pray and dismiss us. I know he prayed for the offering, but he surely got one more prayer in him. His son did a wonderful job in the Sunday school class I was in, and Brother Stephen and Miss Leslie are a great blessing. They're going to be here with us on the 21st of January in the evening service. We're really looking forward to that service, and we'll get all update on Brother Stephen Carrier and his work and what God's doing, but he did a wonderful job today in Sunday school, and we thank God for the Carriers. Would you pray and dismiss us?
Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the privilege that we had to be in Your house this morning, Father. Lord, we don't take these opportunities for granted, and we'd ask now that You'll just be with us as we go about the day. Father, help us to live for You, to bring honor and glory to You. Bless our services tonight, Lord Jesus, and we just ask that You'll be glorified again as we enter into 2024. Lord Jesus, be ask that You'll continue to bless this church. Thank You for the staff and all that they do for us, but Father, help us this year to go forward, Father, that 2024 will be the greatest year that we've had in our Christian walk. But Lord Jesus, again, thank You for Your goodness to us, Father, and we'd ask that You'd be honored and glorified through all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.